It's all good, Pastor. good, Pastor Sammy. It's all good.
Hallelujah. Who's going to pray? King Jesus.
And you're live still.
Oh, am I singing? I forgot I'm live, huh? They're like, this is Pastor Sandy trying to sing. Somebody better tell him he live before he embarrass himself. All right. Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. I've got so many really cool, good things that people sent me. And the first one I really want to say, listen, before we get started, I want you guys to know, Sunday's Bible study, you were supposed to get something. There was something you were supposed to understand that you should have walked out of here going, okay, my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. And I want to know if you got it. And if you didn't get it, then that means I have to go back over it and show you what the Lord was telling you, okay? Because I don't think the rapture's a guess. I think we're in the year. I think the Lord keeps showing me we're in the year. I think the body of Christ is about to get out of here. I think the war that is, the spiritual war that is going on right now, between, well, in the United States, we call it against the right and the left, right? But actually, it's against decent people against evil people, right? And so this war is still going on, and neither one is budging, okay? So it's not going to end peacefully, okay? I'm just letting you know, prepare yourself to leave, because it's a war that they said they're not going to stop. The COVID-19, everybody's thinking, oh, things should be back to normal by, they're saying it's not stopping until we have a one world, until we have a one world republic, they say, okay? So I'm letting you know, this is an all out war for the souls of human beings, and they are not going to quit, okay? But you were supposed to see something Sunday, and I wanna know, did you see it or didn't you? Because as we all go over this, I'm going to go over a lot of these things that I have today, and I don't want to miss anybody out, because if people send me stuff, I don't want to go. I want to let them know that I did receive it. First thing I want to say is Karen's been calling me for about 3 weeks saying, I sent you some tithes. Did you get your tithes? She sent me tithes. And if any, Pastor Ben knows, have you seen my tithe collection?
I've seen some of it.
Yeah, you can only see some of it. It's actually a tour, okay? So, Karen sent me tithes. Pastor Ben, I want to share them with him, but you know, if he's really good, I'll share them with him. I don't mean to be like that. No, I'm gonna share them with him. If you want some ties, you can have some ties. But you know, rappers don't really wear ties. So Karen, I got the ties, Karen, they're beautiful. And then I have the thing for Drea. I don't know what's in it, but I'm gonna give it to her because she said I put something in there for my wife as well. So Karen, I just wanted you to know that I did get that.
Shalom now, from Japan and North Carolina, Pastor Sam.
Shalom, Japan and North Carolina. I also want to make sure that you guys know this. Where is the other deal? Oh, this here. Our Colette, the couple that was married in Israel in 1967.
Yeah.
This is, they sent. This is all this stuff, I think, is from Israel.
Yes.
And this is a Hanukkah menorah with what do you call these, pomegranates?
Pomegranates.
Yeah, this is nice. I mean, don't candles go in here?
Yeah.
Wow. This is beautiful.
It's beautiful. We're gonna mount it.
We're gonna mount it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put it on a nice shelf, and then at Hanukkah we can celebrate and light it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then these beautiful cups she sent. All this stuff's from
all that's in Israel.
From the motherland. Look at this one. It has the the shin on it. I'm going to put that on my house. You know what that is?
God provides for this.
That's God provides. That's God the provider. That's
for mine.
You have one on your house. I know people are going to think you're Jewish because they put this on their home because it's not like an idol. It's just to say the provision for this home comes from Elohim, right? Or from Hashem, if you're Jewish. Wow, look at that beautiful plate.
Isn't it
beautiful? Wow.
Christmas Wednesday.
It is. That's what I've started calling it, Christmas Wednesday, because this it gets ridiculous up in here.
All this stuff came from Israel, Pastor.
And then, wait a minute, okay. And, you pulled this up so you can find out what it was.
Right. Huh?
That's pretty cool. Wow, Hanukkah menorah. And, wait a minute. Oh, and I got the chocolates, and they are safe to eat. Thank you, Colette.
You got plenty of room.
Okay, thank you, Colette. Everything is...
You going to show the chocolate or no?
Huh?
Nah.
I can show the chocolate, but one of them's gone, Pastor Ben, because it was delicious. You know, I am like 275, even though I've lost weight. I'm only 270. I used to be 286, but I lost weight.
There
but
you go.
Look like I'm gonna gain a few back.
And the fly.
Okay, now, the other friend, he sent me these things. Now, this right here is very, I hope you guys are still witnessing. You don't think God saved everybody that's gonna get saved.
Mm.
So he sent me these flyers, and I'm thinking, boy, we can use these. We could have used these last Wednesday, huh? Or I mean on Tuesday when we were out at the beach. But got to witness to a beautiful, I don't think they were a couple though, huh? I think they're like friends. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. But they both just got saved and so they had a lot of questions. So these flyers to witness. And then he gave me some more marker stuff.
He got tired, he said he was cringe every time you use your hands to wipe the board.
Oh, I know, huh? Did he send me some sponges? He did.
Pastor, I've been working on you for years.
Yeah, that's a bad habit. Everybody, even my wife says, don't use your hands when you wipe the board off. That's nasty. And I don't know. You guys say it's nasty, but it's a, huh? See, she go. Okay. I don't know what this is.
I'm not really sure. Those are self-addressed.
Self-addressed?
For you to put something in, but I don't know what.
Oh, this is for me to send Karen Bland something. I think I'm supposed to send her studies, the Hebrew studies thing. Anyway, Karen, I have your number. I'm going to give you a call tomorrow morning, and then we'll talk. And then now, I'm just going to say the names of these letters. And then we're going to move on because we got a Bible study to do. And it's getting busy.
Some of it is homework, I think.
That would be beautiful if it's homework because my glasses aren't in here, Pastor Ben.
You just had them.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's hard getting close to 60. I was like, no, if I left my glasses, we're in trouble. Okay. Da, 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 da. Okay. Who's a Katulim who loves cats? I don't know where all these are from. So, true life. Okay, I'm trying to get all of this stuff off of here, but I want to know who it's from.
Right.
Share. Pastor John Coates. I'm going to have to look at this later because I can't see it. And I just walked in, you guys, so I'm trying to. Elena. Maria Elena from New Jersey. She sent this, right?
Jersey.
From Jersey. And Donica Haynes, she sent me a card. Hallelujah. Oh, this is her homework too. Prayer request. No, this is prayer request, Pastor Ben.
Prayer request?
And it's also homework. So I want to give you the prayer request, yes. And I'm going to take the homework. Look at that Hebrew letters. That
Ooh, look at that.
That is like.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. Wow. You sure you're doing those? Those are pretty nice. Don't be cheating, girl. Those are pretty nice. That looks like some artwork. Hallelujah. Okay. And I'm almost at the end. I think this is Terry. Is this Terry Hay? This is from Redondo Beach. That's really close. How come you haven't been to church? Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, thank you, brothers, for all you do. I appreciate you both. I pray for the Lord to bless all your efforts and that God continues to enlighten you and his word that you might continue to share and instruct us. Blessings from Redondo Beach, California. It's Tom Harris.
All right, Tom.
Hallelujah. Man, we were in Redondo on Tuesday. That's where we were out talking to people about Jesus and working out. And that's turned out to be two of my favorite days of the week, Dre. I mean, Pastor Ben.
Yeah.
We go and we work out, get our muscles right, and then we study after. I think we'd be there for the study more than a workout, though.
That's a good workout.
I'm trying to see who this is from. Your sister, Lakeisha Upchurch. Thank you so much. Teachable moments. So I got your number on here, and I am going to give you a call, because if you didn't want me to call you, you wouldn't have put your number on there. So I'm going to call her. And one more here. This is Natural Solutions. What is Natural Solutions, Pastor Ben?
I don't know.
Okay. Refuse vaccine cards. I like that.
Uh-huh.
Advance. I don't know. I'm going to read through that. Good. That sounds interesting. Okay. This is from Jacqueline Moore. Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, I thought this would be something of interest to you. The cards are legal binding under the United States law. Please share them. Wow.
Wow.
And these cards are, if they're legal binding, they got the law on them that says I don't have to take no vaccine. I ain't taking one anyway.
Right.
You can get the guillotine ready, because I ain't taking nothing. Send me to heaven. I dare you. Okay. I'm going to get all of this off of here, and maybe tomorrow morning we can clear it all up and get back to it, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
Okay. Wow. Look at this.
Those are beautiful.
These are from Colette too, huh?
Yeah.
I just want to look at it, and then we're going to get started. Wow. Are these pictures in Israel?
I think that's in Israel, yeah.
Wow. If I'm not going, well, I'm not going until Jesus comes back. Wow.
You'll be all cleaned up.
Megiddo. Wow. Okay. Do you guys all have a Bible study, a Bible with you? I mean, a Bible study that we sent? Okay.
Janelle sent them out.
Good deal. And I hope you guys aren't bothered by that, but if people send you stuff, it's kind of rude to just not acknowledge it. Okay. So. Okay. I don't even know. That's with the markers. Okay. Okay, are you guys have your Bible study with you?
Yeah.
All right, let me pray us in, because
all four of us got our Bible.
Yeah, no, all four. All right. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for bringing us to this moment, Father God, this time of expectation, of rapture, of of the church leaving and for the beginning of the conclusion of the whole matter, Father God. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray, bless the word, Father God, today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I want everyone to know my brother had surgery for his cancer. They got it all out. They say he's doing well, and they don't think that it'll be a problem anymore.
Amen.
So thank you, everybody, for praying. I really appreciate Amen. That. Okay. Sunday, what did we talk about?
Amen.
We talked about this. Now, I want us to get back to this because I don't want you to miss what this is all about, okay? Now watch this, wait a minute. Because he's sitting. I'ma use this so nobody yells at me anymore.
Eraser.
Now I don't know what I can erase. Okay.
Lord, it's coming soon.
So the first thing, that's how you know, huh? Is the first thing we wanted you guys to know is this thing here, kof, right? Which is kof is the word holy, and in Hebrew it's also the word for monkey. Okay, so that is profound to me because God is saying, if you follow me and live the way I do, you don't have to be someone who lives according to like a primate. You know, like animals, they get mad, they get in a fight. They don't think about the consequences or anything. You know, it's like, so God doesn't want us to be like animals. He wants us to read his word and for his word to guide us. And we think before we act. We don't just do. Okay. And the word also means growth cycle. Okay. So it's the 19th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is what I wanted you guys to get. And I hope you get this. Eve's name is numerical value 19. You see that? So Eve's name is numerical value of 19, and her title is Semek. She is the support and the helpmate to Adam, okay? The numerical value for the word Semek, which is how you pronounce this letter, is 120, okay? Eve started a cycle, because this, the other word, title for this word is a growth cycle, okay? So what Eve did started a cycle that has to go full circle before it's finished, okay? It has to go full circle before it's finished. And what I was trying to show you guys, if you're running in a track meet, you have to start here and then you have to finish. So God wants you to see that what Eve started, God has to finish. Because Eve brought what? Sin into the world, okay? And now it's up to God to say either have judgment on Eve, but God did something very different. Instead of just saying judgment, he came up with a plan to erase the sin. Okay? Is it okay? So, Eve, everything begins. Now, the 120 that it begins with is something very unique for all of us to understand. Since the helper or helpmate or the semek, Eve, is the numerical value of 120, it becomes the number of judgment, okay? So 120 is the number of judgment. What happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned? Where were they living?
They were kicked out of the garden.
They were kicked out of God. So they had to what? Depart. Remember, if you sin, you gotta get out. Remember that, okay? So when she sinned, the first thing they had to do was you have to leave. You cannot live in the garden, in the Garden of Eden anymore. And so they were kicked out of the garden, and God guarded the place to make sure that they don't come back, because God did not want them to live forever in a state of sin. So they could not eat of the tree of life. They had to get out. So they were kicked out of the garden for what? For sin. Now, when the next judgment of sin is the whole world engulfed in sin, God says, you have 120 years. At Noah, there's 120 years. And at the end of the 120 years, the flood will start, the boat will depart up, and judgment will fall, right?
Right.
Now, after that, we have the incident of Moses, who did not do the proper thing with striking the water. And God said, you're going to be judged for that. But God doesn't judge him right away. He waits till he turns what? 120 years. Why? Because of Eve, this has become the proper time for judgment is 120 years. God stays on that pattern, okay? When Saul becomes king and he serves for 40 years, and then David becomes king, he serves for 40 years, then Solomon becomes king, he serves for 40 years, but he began to sin with all these different women and to worship idols, and God said, now everybody, all of Israel is being dispersed, get out of the land, and they got dispersed, so they had to depart, because 40, 40, and 40 is what, 120, now it's time to depart, get out, judgment. So is it strange to me that God has structured all the judgments in the Bible according to the 120 years segment? Is that just strange, or do you think that God is on a pattern that he plans on keeping?
Pattern.
This is a pattern. And so Jesus comes along and says, our escape, our being departing from here, and the judgment coming upon the earth is going to be just as it was in the days of Noah, okay? And then the days of Noah was the 120 years. Now, this is what I want you guys to understand. You got your paper with you? It says, Eve equals 19, that is the beginning of sin, okay? That sin has to be eliminated, but it can't be eliminated till what? Till it runs a full course, because the letter also means a growth cycle. It has to take its full cycle, and then God has to eliminate it, okay? Then in Psalms, God makes Psalms the 19th book of the Bible. You understand that? Why do you think God made Psalms the 19th book of the Bible? And then after he makes Psalms the 19th book of the Bible, he prophesies every year from Psalms 1 to Psalms 120 exactly what's going to happen. But Psalms 120 becomes the Psalm of Ascent, meaning ascending up, Mi Allah in Hebrew. So this Psalm at 120 is Mi Allah. Now, the incredible thing is that the seven Psalms after that perfectly describe the tribulation. So you got 19 being Eve, okay? Then you have the 19th book of the Bible, and that's prophesying to you what? The last days, the last generation. Israel becomes a nation in what? 1948. The Six-Day War is in 1967, okay? The Balfour Accord is in 1917. World War I and World War II, 1914. 1939 to 1945. Everything about end-time judgment is happening in the 1900s. Why? Because God said, they asked Jesus, and Jesus says, when you see wars and rumors of wars, okay, and nations rising against nations and kingdom against kingdom, know that this is the beginning of sorrows, okay? So now this sorrow has started, but it started with everything went on with Israel in the 1900s. And then if we go here to Psalms 48, let's go to Psalms 48. put my glasses on. Psalms 48, listen to this, okay? Because Psalms 48 is the exact thing that would happen to Israel as they move back into the land. It's the 19th book of the Bible, the 48th chapter, and it is the exact thing of what happened to Israel when they moved back into the land, okay? The incredible thing is, as he's saying this, as he's saying, oh, great is the Lord Almighty, worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the utmost heights of Zephon is Mount Zion, the city of the great king, which is Jesus. God is in her citadel. He has shown himself to be her fortress. Why? Because they're back in the land. The most incredible thing, well, one of the incredible things is that kings joined forces, okay, and advanced together to destroy her. But it says they were terrified and they fled in terror. Trembling seized them. So that means God fought the war for them because they had no military yet. And now they fight off four or five different nations with a country that just started, and Israel is back on the map, okay? It's in the 19th book of the Bible in the 48th chapter. I'm getting somewhere with this. Now, we get here to verse 13, and it says, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, which is the last generation. And even though some Bibles say the next generation or the generation coming, the Hebrew is the only thing that matters to me. It says, when you see this happen, you go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, which means the last terminal generation. So now, as he's saying, Israel is the last terminal theirs, because if it's 70 or 80, it's still 2027, 2028, right? And if it is 2027 or 2028, then where's the tribulation if that's the end of their generation? So that means 7 years before that, something is happening. So Psalms 21 through 27 gives us a perfect picture of the tribulation. So what are we listening to crazy people for? Why are we, I mean, when I asked God this past week, he said, you can't ask me that question. I've given you too much information. We have too much proof and information about what's coming. And with all the proof that we have, okay, scripturally, there's a fake pandemic going on, and people believe it, so it's a pretty good lie, because the media is the truth for human beings, okay? Yeah. And if evil people control the media, they're going to believe what the media writes or what the media says. And so for them, someone said, there have been 5 million deaths of coronavirus since it started. I went, what a fat lie. There's not been no 5 million deaths of the coronavirus. And then the lady that's in Oklahoma is still trying to sue the hospital for saying her husband died of COVID. And she said, my husband had diabetes. And why are you trying to put COVID on this death certificate? See, if it's a real pandemic, you don't have to start lying and then bringing in mannequins and pretending that they're sick. Uh-huh. It's too much lying going on. You understand? If it's a real pandemic, you don't have to do nothing. Just watch it happen.
Right.
But they're bringing in mannequins. They're showing fake hospital scenes. They're saying everybody's testing positive, even though the president of that country swiped the test he ain't swiped it with peach juice.
Yes.
And it came back positive. And he said he let some of the goats lick the other ones, and he said they all came back positive. And he said, I don't care, they're giving us $13,000 per positive test, so let them come back. But he said, but as a honest man, he came back and said, you know what? We slapped that stuff with fruit juice, and we let the pigs, and we let everybody lick those things just so we can get them back. because they told us every positive test we get money. And so they were mad at the guy from Tanzania. They were like, "Yeah, you it's bad enough you did it, but you told everybody. If we're trying to lie to them, and if you're telling them the truth." Yeah. So we're in the middle of this. And every time I say it's a fake pandemic, somebody says, "Oh, well, I have somebody that died." The fact of the matter is this. The flu virus has killed more people every year for the last 50 years than this pandemic, okay? Just the regular flu, okay? So what are they trying to do? You have to ask yourself, what is going on? What's really going on then? Is this for control over human beings and trying to get them prepared for a tribulation so that you can control them and so that you can prepare a vaccine for them so that you can control human beings? What is it really for if it's not really a pandemic? Because it's not really a pandemic. So therefore, you have to look at things and say, what's going on? We're here to tell you what's going on. You're in the 120th year. The church is about to leave, okay? And if you want to leave with the church, you'll take your relationship serious with Jesus Christ. And if someone doesn't know Jesus Christ, they'll accept Christ and find out what's going on, okay? I'm trying to find a way to say you're living in a very dangerous time. If you don't understand how dangerous this time is, read the book of Revelation, okay? And know what's about to happen, okay? Because once it happens, you are in the tribulation, okay? There's no escape other than worshiping the beast, worshiping Satan, or dying for not worshiping Satan, okay? There's no other escape for it. And it's slowly just creeping up on us, and every day we wake up and we're seeing more signs of it, okay? And this huge bomb goes off in Lebanon and all of this. And then I'm watching. I want you to know the world you're living in now. Because Robert, the guy, Ronald Bernard, he goes, I did all these wonderful, crazy things for the Illuminati, for the Beast Bank. And he said, I was in charge of the sacrifices, all of the sacrifices. You know what all of being in charge of the sacrifices means? No, not the charge, because he wouldn't do the children. That's why the sacrifices are when a bomb just happens to go off at a marathon. He said, I was structuring sacrifice. Yeah, orchestrating deaths because Satan is requiring these sporadic deaths. And he says, I was in charge of the sacrifices. But he said, then they called me and they said, we're going to do a child sacrifice. And you have to be there because he's high level. He's not at the Vatican. He's not the Rockefellers. He's at the Beast Bank. He's working with entities. And he's saying, I didn't show up for the child sacrifice the first time, and then they wanted to know what was going on. The second time I didn't show up, he said, they stripped my bank account and they came after me. So this is the world you're living in. They were not sacrificing the child they were sacrificing the child to Lucifer. You understand? This is what he's trying to say. They're worshiping Satan and they're doing this. This is the world that God says has to change. And we're standing around thinking, oh, it'll all get better. Stop for 1 minute. The girl pizza, the rapture puzzle. God did the study, right? Found out the woman that I warned you guys about, which you people sent me and said, I think she's still really a nice Christian woman. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not going to tell one Christian one thing and one Christian right. The other thing. You understand? This woman, the rapture puzzle, came and said, well, I guess we don't have enough time for the rest of the tribulation. We only have 5 more months of tribulation left. And it didn't happen. The rapture didn't happen. So I guess it's not going to happen. So I told my husband, we might as well plan for the next 5 years. Now, people have been following her for since 2013 when I first called her out and saying Obama walking into the church in Israel was not the abomination of desolation. What are you talking about? The guy did a thing. I'm going to send it to you, Pastor Ben, but please don't read it and don't look at it. You can listen to it, but don't read it. Don't read the stuff, because he'll tell you don't read it, because it's from a group of Satanists that are issued or commanded to go out and start YouTubes and start and confuse Christians about the rapture and about God. And if you and they and so her connection was on this satanic site. So this person was on assignment to confuse you about the rapture. And I believe this other lady, I erased her name, but Weltner, I believe she's on assignment because she can't be that crazy about the Bible. She can't be that off. Nobody could be as off as that. You know what I mean? When you just say weird stuff, you just go, where did she get that from? There are groups of Satanists that assign people to YouTube channels to deceive you about what's coming, okay? The rapture's coming. Understand that it's coming and stop listening to everybody that you hear, okay?
Man.
Okay, now we can get back to this. Okay, so now we got Eve is the 19th, is numerical value 19, she begins sin. Then we have the 19th book of the Bible giving us a rapture scenario for the first 120, which is the 120 years. Then we have Revelation chapter 19. And I read it on Sunday. And what is the conclusion of Revelation chapter 19? What's the conclusion of it? Sin gets done away with. Listen to what it says here. I'm just going to read from verse 19. It says, then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. Who's the rider on the horse? Jesus. He's coming back on the white horse, right? On the real white horse. Mm-hmm. So, and he says, the beast and the false prophet are going to try to come to war against who? Against the rider on the horse. They're going to come to war against Jesus? Have they forgot who created the sun? I just throw the sun at you. But it's crazy. So here it is. It says, then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his armies. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed miracles and signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who received the mark of the beast and worshiped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into a fiery lake burning with sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword, and they came out of the mouth of the rider of the horse. The double edged, did he say when he come, he's gonna what? He says a sword, a double edged sword is coming out of his mouth to consume his enemies. They're trying to fight against God and they're being consumed, okay? They're thrown into the lake of fire and they're burning. This is the end of sin. We go from there to the millennium. Because chapter 20 says, oh, by the way, it says, chapter 20 says, and I saw the angels coming out of heaven having key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain, and he sees the dragon, okay, the ancient serpent who is the devil, and bound him for 1,000 years. So therefore, the false prophets in hell, the beast is in hell, and now the serpent is in hell. So that's the end of sin. Where does it end at? Chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, because where did it start? Eve, which is 19. So then this is the finishing of this circle, right? And what does God tell you about the story of how it comes to an end in the last generation? The 19th book from Psalms 1 to 120 gives you the end of the story.
Man.
And so if you miss that, God is saying, look, I set out a pattern and I'm showing it to you plainly so that you can see it. All right?
Yeah.
Now, you got your paper with you? We're still on the front page. I'm going to read this. It says, the Gospel of John derives its name from the Greek. Okay? I can't see it. It says it's like Yohanan, and it says which rose from the Hebrew Yohanan. The meaning of the name John is Yahweh is gracious. So John is the one that pronounces who? I'm going back to the book of John right now. Let's go to John chapter 1. You guys, sometimes I'm trying to still say stuff and I feel like I'm gonna burst. Listen to this, you guys. John, God told Zechariah and Elizabeth to name him John.
Right.
When they named him John, the angel told him that's what his name is going to be. Who picked his name?
God.
What does his name mean? God is gracious. Why call him God is gracious? Why are you insisting on this? Because it's his book and he's trying to tell you something. He said, because this is the guy that's going to introduce into the world the author of grace. So his name is God, the Yahweh is gracious. That's what John means. Great name. I would have took John now. Now, gracious has the numerical value of 114, which is really 19 times 6. Okay? If you look in John, in the book of John, chapter 1, all of the verses and all of the words are equaling out to a numerical value of 19. Why? Because God is using what? Grace.
Wow.
To destroy what? Sin. So he, instead of being mad at Eve, he comes up with a plan of grace to send grace into the world so that he can combat sin. Because we need grace. Okay? Now watch. So John's numerical value of John's name is 114. So let's read chapter 1, verse 14. What is that? 114, right? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is chapter 1, verse 14, 114, which is the numerical value of John's name.
Wow.
So does the Bible have an author?
Yeah.
What's he telling us? I'm sending grace to conquer what? To conquer sin. I'm sending it into the world. Okay. Now watch this. Okay. The word flesh, right? Flesh has a numerical value in the Greek of 361. The word lamb in the Greek has a numerical value of 19. Yeah. 19 times 19 equals 361, which is flesh, right? Okay, so what does the scripture say? The word became flesh. 361, which is what? 19 times 19. He's dealing with the whole Eve problem.
Yes.
by sending his son in the flesh to take care of sin. And then it says here, let me finish this. And it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So grace was now living with us. We have seen his glory. What is this glory? Oh my goodness. Okay. Anyway, okay. So it says, we have seen his glory. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who is from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, when he comes into the world, Jesus already knows what he has to go through to get rid of sin. Because remember, this is a 120-year judgment, okay? But now, what jubilee just passed? The 120th jubilee. You understand? What year are we in? The 120th year, okay? So, I'm going to read this scripture. John 19, verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place called the place of skulls, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Okay? Golgotha has a numerical value of 186, which is the same numerical value of the of this word kof, which is holy. So therefore, let me put that one right, because somebody will call me. But you'd have to spell it like this, with a vav. And then that would be the same numerical for kof, would be what? Golgotha, the place where Jesus was. I'll tell you a story about Golgotha in a minute. Now, listen to this scripture. The suffering. Oh, Pastor Ben, did we get all the letter? Okay.
Did I get it all?
I think so. I think maybe I messed up. Okay, so the suffering. Yeah, that scripture I'm looking for. Oh, no back page? Okay. All right. So anyway, the scripture, his suffering, Christ's suffering on the cross, is a numerical value of 741, which is 19 times 39. How many stripes did he take? 39 stripes. What is he trying to conquer? What happened with the first 19, which is Eve, which was sin, right? Mm-hmm. So the Greek word for suffering is 741, which is 19 times 39. So anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is everything in chapter 1 of John has a division numerical value of 19, because Christ is in the world to deal with what? To deal with sin. Because he's trying to complete this cycle and get rid of sin out of the world, okay? And so in Revelation 19, we see the completion of that cycle. Let's go and read now. So I want us to go to Thessalonians.
First Thessalonians,
chapter 4. Yes, chapter 4. I think the argument of rather there's going to be a pre-tribulational rapture should be over, right? Nobody should be even really trying to make that argument anymore. I think it's been proven ridiculous that there's that the church doesn't leave before the tribulation. Okay? So, Revelation chapter 4, verse 13. It says, brethren, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own words, Okay, so that means Jesus was telling them about this when he was alive. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For, wow, thank you, Lord. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, what? First. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is what Jesus was telling them, okay? The scripture is making it clear here that people are still alive, walking around, and they're caught up in the air to be with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the dead in Christ are caught up to be with the Lord, okay? So, this event is happening before anything on the earth comes about far as a tribulation, okay? The only way to see this event again is to go to Revelation chapter 4 and watch Jesus do it again. Because he says, look, after this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place. What? After this. This is the conversation. Metatauta means after this. After what? Huh? Because what does he talk about? From chapter 1 to chapter 3, the churches, okay? And it's about seven churches and what the churches need to do and what will happen if the church doesn't do right. And he's talking, the reward you'll get if you endure, and you, all this stuff is about the church. You get to chapter 4 and he says, come up here, and then he tells John, then John is up in heaven, and now he sees in heaven a throne. So John is already out of the earth in heaven, and he sees a throne in heaven. So we know chapter 4 is saying John is not on the earth anymore.
5 minutes.
Okay? John is not on the earth anymore. The churches were mentioned in the first three chapters. Now, after the fourth chapter, I want to hear, when do you hear about the church again after chapter 4? Huh? There is no chapter in the book of Revelation from that point on till I think 19 that you hear about the church again.
Right.
Okay? So understand, he's saying after these things, after what? After the church is done with. So now the church leaves the earth because of what? Because somebody said, come up here.
Yeah.
This is the great hope that we have.
Yeah.
But it's not just a great hope in this time that we're living in.
Yeah.
This is the great evidence that's walking up before us every day.
Yeah.
We're watching it.
Yeah.
In 1980, they weren't talking about chips and people.
Right. No, they weren't.
1990, nobody was talking about a chip, putting chips in people. The only person that talked about this was Revelation chapter 13.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden it's top news. What's going to be in the chip? What will the chip be able to do? Who's going to take it? Who's not? Are they going to be forced? Is Bill Gates going to make them? We're talking about something that was written in 90 AD that the Bible already told us was coming. And then we're walking around and it says the whole world will bow to the beast, and the whole world will be forced to take the mark. And you read that, in the 80s or the 90s, and you go, what do you mean the whole world? Who's going to make the whole world? That's impossible. How can one person make the whole world? Then you got America, you're going to overcome all these countries. How are you going to make all these countries, make all their people do the same thing? Are we watching somebody make all these people in all these countries do the same thing?
Yep.
They're wearing the same mask in Canada.
Yep.
They're wearing the same mask in Mexico.
Yep.
They're wearing the same mask in Africa. France, Europe, everybody's walking around with masks, and everybody's worried about what's next. And so we're watching the tribulation about to take place. And who's ready? Gotta be ready. I wish I could convince human beings that sin started somewhere. God sent an answer for sin, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? And Jesus Christ is going to answer the problem of sin by getting rid of it. But it's going to take a process. Okay? Remember, it starts, the word koth means also a complete cycle. So remember, this thing has to take its complete course before it's over with. The tribulation is part of this course that it has to take. The world has to have 7 years of tribulation. Israel is owed 7 years by God because he only gave him 483. We're not talking about pre-tribulation for no reason. This 7 years has been set aside for a reason, and all through scripture you can see a 7 year period has been set aside.
Yes.
For what? For the tribulation. For who? Because Israel is going to go through this tribulation, and all unbelievers and people who are evil and all the Nephilim and everything that's on the earth has to go through a 7 year period for the purging and getting rid of evil out of the earth. It's not until Christ comes back and we come back with him. Do you guys realize when we come back, and we are leaving soon, when we come back, there'll be no such thing as sin?
Woo, mercy.
There won't even be anybody who desires it.
Man.
The people who survived the tribulation that stand on the right side of Christ, these are people who had made a confession for him. So that we ain't having no problems with them. The false prophet, the beast, and the dragon are all in hell, and we're here for 1,000 years in resurrected bodies.
Yes.
For 1,000 years. Yeah, it sounds, God wants you to know his plan. I could sit here all day and talk to you about what Satan gonna do. Who cares? I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you're planning. All I care about is God's plan, and I'm waiting for it to happen. And I will not live my last days on earth worrying about who's making the vaccines, who's gonna get forced to be chipped, when is a martial law gonna start? Who cares? The God of this world has already told you you're leaving.
Yes.
Before anything happens, that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen. Okay? So I'm standing on the word of God. It's like Pastor Ben, Pastor Sandy, Pastor Ben, that was some bold words to tell Christians that they don't have to worry about nothing. Like, we're not going to see none of it. Did you hear me? We're not going to see none of it. We're leaving because he says we'll escape all that is about to happen. So stop it with all the scary videos and stop listening to every old lady that gets on YouTube and has some idea about the Bible, which is absolutely crazy. Abigail even laughed on Sunday. I said, she, and somebody asked, they emailed me the question, is it true, Pastor Sandy, that we're going to get our resurrected bodies and we're going to hang around here for 10 days in resurrected bodies? Is it true? But this is what this lady
Where
taught.
Did you get that from?
From the lady. who is probably hooked up to the same satanic group as Rapture Puzzle was.
Hello.
You understand? Because
yep.
She's leading people to that. You understand? This, I'm telling you, Juke getting saved through here woke us all up.
Yeah, it did.
Juke said, I was on assignment. We're sent out to confuse people about the rapture. Why would you want to confuse people about the rapture? Why is it that Satan has got a group of people organized to confuse people about the rapture? Must be pretty important.
Okay.
If he don't want people to escape, all he got to do is just convince them it's not coming.
Right.
Dig a hole in the backyard, buy some guns, get some noodles, and you'll be fine. Now your plan is not Jesus' plan.
Right.
And you living outside of faith, so you in sin anyway.
Right.
And now you really here.
Wow.
But there's a group of us that are standing like this.
Yeah.
With capes on.
Hallelujah.
Slam, we're going to be like Superman in a minute. Just hold up, okay? I'm waiting on a rapture. Praise God. That's it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Awesome song.